the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site, about your Arizona Cardinals in episode 483, with my co-host, Seth Cox, from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site, and one of the hosts of the Additional Draft Breakdown podcast. There is no way to sugarcoat this game, is there, Seth? 27-0, 58 yards total offense. My goodness, we're sorry if you bet any money on that game, any props. That was atrocious. The line went to 13. I'm like, dude, the Cardinals are totally covering. Oh my gosh.
No, and I mean, if you did get to Revenge of the Birds before the game, I would have helped you because I got Clayton Toon over. And over his rushing yards, and Clayton Toon under his passing yards, or under his passing touchdowns. So,
I said, hey, Toon over to, like, I thought he would get to over 200 yards passing because what I think was going to happen, garbage time. But they were just they were useless. I think to think as bad as we thought it was with Josh Dobbs. I think we saw. And maybe it was amplified by the fact that Cleveland's defense is the number one defense in yards allowed in the NFL. But everyone clamoring for Clayton Toon after what we've seen from Josh Dobbs, now I think we see why. Now I think we see why is that Dobbs, even though he has limitations, is able to do and know how to make plays more than Toon was, at least at this point. And I will say, the game plan, not good. Or it was just, they were just so poor at executing it that the get the ball out quick was useless.
It was, and they just couldn't do anything that allowed them to really, you know, make plays, and there was just no flow to the game. There was no, I mean, there's not a lot of things you can talk about when you're talking about 58 yards of offense and three bad turnovers. It's just, it's genuinely awful.
Yeah, and that's what we want to talk about. So let's talk about Clayton Toon, and honestly, let's talk a little bit about Josh Dobbs as well. As he became a hero immediately. Let's actually lead with that. Josh Dobbs, the hero in Minnesota. You know, it's easy to see why NFL teams and coaches like Josh Dobbs, right? I think especially he says literally every right thing. He impresses coaches. He's so bright. He's incredibly good as a teammate. And to see what he did in Minnesota in relief of rookie Jaren Hall, who suffered a concussion, to lead that team to victory. If you didn't missed it, Jaren Hall gets hit and he has a concussion. Josh Dobbs, been with the team for three practices, did not take a single like first team rep in practice. Doesn't know anybody's name, does not know the offense. He comes in and, well, he gets sacked for a safety, but then throws two touchdown passes, has a Kyler Murray-esque, you know, two-point conversion long play, and rushes for a touchdown and leads the Vikings to a 31-28 win over the Falcons, whom the Cardinals play this week. And the goodness, the reception he received going into the locker room after the day. It is easy to see why football players and coaches, it's really easy to see why he continues to be employed in the NFL, even though up until this year he'd literally done nothing.
Yeah, and it's cool to see. I mean, we like Dobbs. We never had a problem with him. We just said he is what he is. He's a backup. He's not a starter in this league. And, you know, the reality is with that, we can see what he can do. But overall, I mean, this was a otherworldly performance from him. And you have to be excited for a guy, you know, and it still makes sense for the Cardinals to move on from him with what they were going to do with Kyler this week and everything. So, you know, I don't think there was anything against that. You were able to pick up an extra pick, right? Like,
and now it looks like, because, like, I don't think there's, like, you can't, aside from Jaren Hall, he's in concussion protocol right now. Even if he's healthy, you can't go back to Jaren Hall yet after what Dobbs, you have to have him start.
Right.
And so we can be on Josh Dobbs watch, because whether it's four starts or five starts, since they have eight games left, I don't know what the terms are exactly, but John Gambadora said that if he starts half the games that are left, there were nine games left. So I don't know if that means if he starts four or if he starts five games the rest of the season, the Cardinals get their seventh-round pick. Not that I want the Cardinals to have an extra seventh-round pick, but it would be great for value to get that pick back to then put it in a deal to get something else. If I'm choosing things, it just makes it look better, because they traded a fifth and what was it? What was the deal that they got for him? They traded a fifth for him and a seventh, right?
Right.
They traded him for a fifth and a seventh, and they send him away for a sixth. They send him and a seventh for a sixth, but then if they get the seventh back, it becomes basically they got eight games of a reliable starter who played above his weight for a little bit, and then played at his weight for a bit, and basically comes out as a wash. Like, you end up you losing a round for getting half a season of a starting quarterback. That's good. Like, honestly, you can't complain about that.
No, and it ended up being, you know, enough for them. And we'll see how it works out for Minnesota, and reality being, you know, I think him being just able to go out and play football was probably the best thing that happened to him this week, because he seems to have been better, which sounds counterintuitive, but the less he was in the system, the better he seemed to be, right?
Right. Like, and for a guy as brilliant as he's an astrophysicist, this is stupid, like the pastor nod and all that. The kid is a brilliant, intelligent man. But he plays like he's a better quarterback when he's playing off, like playing, you know, improvised quarterback play, right? Like Kyler, his rookie year, like what he did in that game was like Kyler rookie year type things.
Yeah. And so you're just going to have to get him and see how he does the rest of the way. But, you know, he got the Vikings into the playoff mix. And so that's going to be, you know, he's until now, since, you know, if the season was to end today, they'd be in the playoffs. You know, like you said, he's kind of a folk hero.
Oh, thank goodness. And on the flip side is Clayton Tune. Oh, goodness. I mean,
poor Clayton.
The only thing that you can say was a positive was his poise. Like, he was completely overmatched. Whether it was the injuries, the fact that the running game was absolutely just God, just dog crap bad. But yeah, he was 11 for 20 passing. So he had 20 passing attempts for 58 yards. They had 17 net passing yards. 17 net passing yards, because he was sacked seven times for 48 yards. He was picked off twice. He lost a fumble. So he turned the ball over three times, 58 yards passing, but only 17 net yards. He did show his athleticism in being able to move and, you know, rush for 28 yards, which was 15 yards more than the rest of the running backs. that's another thing to talk about. But this was one of the all-time worst starting performances we've seen from a quarterback, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And you just look at it, and it was just a cluster, you know what. And there was just nothing that they could do correctly on offense. And again, we go back to, honestly, the defense wasn't that bad. It really wasn't. But you're not going to counter. You're just not going to counter some of the situations that occurred. And so that's what's got to happen. And I think there were obviously issues that they had. They didn't get enough pressure on Deshaun Watson at times. They allowed Amari Cooper, who's a phenomenal receiver. You and I talked about him a lot last week and said, like, he's a guy that's super underrated in this league, and he can beat you, and he did. I thought, they did a nice job against the run. And so when you look at it from that perspective, there were some positive things, but the reality was this was just such a lopsided matchup, and it all comes back to the offense and their inability to do anything. And when you don't have to respect the pass at all, it makes running the ball incredibly hard. And when you're without your best runners as well, it makes, it nearly impossible.
Yeah. And so what do we take away from this? After one Clayton Toon start, what is the opinion of him?
I don't think there should be any opinion. I think Jess had been preaching correctly all year that, like, it can always get worse. And, you would think as Cardinals fans, they would be all too familiar with that, right? That sentiment. It can always get worse.
It can. In terms of after the performance, I kind of put together a collection of some of the all-time, like, either rookie, like, first start type performances we've had. Ryan Lindley, he came in when John Skelton got benched in 2012. He got benched. It was against the Falcons, if y'all recall, because he missed a wide open receiver in the end zone. Ken Winston-Hunt had enough. Ryan Lindley came in, completed 9 of 20 passes. But then his first start the next week, I think, was against the Lions. They won that game, I believe. That was their one win after their 5-0 start, their 4-0 start. And he piled up the yards. He had 312 yards passing, but he was picked off four times. That's a bad – and so that was a mixed bag. But we've also seen other quarterbacks. And I think we have to go all the way to, like, 03, 04. John Navarre, Denny Green decided to start him, and he was kind of throwing crap at the wall to see if it would stick. And because I remember, like, oh, he's going to be good because he came from a big program. It's in 2004. He was a seventh round pick out of Michigan. Big, like, honestly, he was like that big pocket passer, and he was given a start, and it was bad. It wasn't as bad as Clayton Toon, but it felt that bad in a 26-12 loss to the Lions. He had 168 yards, a touchdown, and four interceptions. If you go back to, like, Jake Plummer's first NFL start after he had the came in relief, wasn't good. And if you go all the way back to Tim Rosenbaugh's start, he got hurt in his first one. He was 2 of 8 passing, got sacked a couple times and got hurt. Then he came back the next year and was the start of the entire year. And I believe he threw four interceptions in, let me pull it up, because I wrote this, Tim Rosenbaugh. And then in his first, like, start. So yeah, he had four picks in his season opener against Washington in 1990. And then you've got Tom Tupa, the later Pro Bowl punter, and one of my favorite, like, one of my irrationally favorite players. Like, I'm a Tom Tupa stan. I remember that in little known history is that in trivia, that Tom Tupa was the first to score a 2-point conversion in the mod, like, when it came back in the mid-90s. He was the first to score it. It was off a busted extra point. He was the holder. Anyway, but, you know, Tom Tupa, he, in his first start in, I think it was 1989, it was against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Buddy Ryan led Philadelphia Eagles at the time. Sacked six times, picked off six times. And even then, like the what Clayton Tune did, what Clayton Tune did was so, so bad. And I know you don't want to read too much into it, but have we ever, let me put it, have we ever seen a quarterback who's been anything in the NFL have a start as bad as that?
Yeah, I don't know if we have. You know, there's been some historically bad NFL starts, but I just don't know if we've seen. And it's harder. It's harder to judge based on the fact that he's a rookie, right?
The context matters, but even still, just so bad. He didn't have the same like lost look. It's just he could literally do nothing. Like there was no one to throw the ball to. There was no one open. He was getting absolutely. He has pressured constantly. The run game was non-existent, and. You know, and then when he had the chance to throw the ball, he had errant throws. One of his picks, one of his interceptions was just an absolute atrociously overthrown ball to an otherwise open Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, and that was, you know, that was just such a bad throw. I mean, you look at it, you have the Ty Detmer start in 2001 where he had seven interceptions in a game.
And Ty Detmer wasn't anything. In the NFL.
And he was, and that was, I think he was a veteran at that point because that was in 2001. So I'm assuming he'd been in the league for a while. Yeah, because he was drafted in 92. So,
yeah, Heisman winner.
you know, obviously, Ryan Leaf had some bad games in the NFL. He had one where I'm double checking the stats. I mean, like you said, it was just such a bad performance that it's hard to remember any other time that you saw anything like that.
And it's really kind of sad. We kind of said Josh Dobbs had earned legacy backup mode. Now he's not even on the team. But when you have your rookie that you hope can, you know, maybe. Be about that sort of performance, you're like, oh, please.
by the way, the Ryan Leaf performance was worse. It was 1 for 15 for 4 yards and 2 interceptions.
Oh my goodness. All right.
The only reason they had any yardage is because their running back ran for 165 yards rushing.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, let's be honest, that was kind of, I mean, I know it's never going to happen, but that was kind of what they needed, right? But like you said, in the modern NFL, it's really hard to find worse performances.
No. And, you know, hopefully he never plays again the rest of the year because we got that to talk about. So coming up next on the rest of us here at Podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's talk. There's plenty more to pick apart on that game. Let's talk about more of the bad in the loss to the Cleveland Browns. That's coming up next on Rest of Us Red. We're back on the Rise of Fear podcast, Mr. of Cardinals Talk on the web. Yeah, we talked Clayton Tune was bad. There was so much bad to go around, and I think you just, like, and I don't want to, because we're going to talk about any good in a section, so we're going to have to leave, like, the defense, even though it wasn't great, wasn't bad, but everything about the offense was just atrocious. You have to stare down those running backs, Keontae Ingram and Tony Jones and Rondale Moore. We knew that Clayton Tune needed a run game, and we worried about the run game because James Conner, he's awesome. And Amari DiMercato, reliable. He was not flashy, but he was reliable and got positive yards. The three guys that played running back, you know, Ingram, Tony Jones, and mind you, we could have, I guess we probably should have, you know, predicted, because I did put out a tweet there, I think it was on Saturday, how the Cardinals are going into the game with their top two running backs in Keonta Ingram and Tony Jones, who both had a career sub 3 yard per carry average. That was not improved upon. 16 carries for 13 yards. That was as bad a game that we could see. And honestly, we can also say that the, you know, Keonta Ingram had 8 yards rushing, but you know what his longest run was? 11 yards. He had 11 yards on one carry and minus 3 yards on his other 8 carries. Ingram's been bad this year.
Yeah, he's not a guy that you can trust. I think he's a guy that at this point you're probably looking to move on from. You'd probably move on from him this year if you could. You just don't have any depth.
Right, right. And Tony Jones was no better. You know, 3 carries for 2 yards. I mean, he had 1 carry for 4 and then had 2 carries for -2 after that. So it was in Rondell Moore, 4 carries for 3 yards. So he had 1 carry that was for 4 yards and 3 carries that netted -1. It was, I mean, Cleveland's defense came to play. But there is, and then you look at the offensive line. Like, the offensive line, which we felt has been a strength this season, but you can't, there's nothing you can say when it's, when there are 13 rushing yards that are designed runs and your quarterback is sacked 7 times. DJ Humphreys didn't look good. Paris Johnson had his troubles.
I mean, to be fair, Myles Garrett's a freak.
He is.
But yes, DJ, that was probably his worst game in a while.
You know, Davlin Tomlinson ended with 2.5 sacks. He,
yeah. So maybe Elijah Wilkinson wasn't that bad, right?
right. And we saw Dennis Daly just get taken to the woodshed a couple of times in that game. But 7 sacks, it's just so many sacks. So many. And so 7 sacks and 10 quarterback hits. Yeah, it was just, it was a beatdown. It was an absolute beatdown. Zadarius Smith had 2 quarterback hits and a sack. Myles Garrett had a sack and another forced fumble. No, I guess that was Jordan Elliott or the kid Ford that had the forced fumble. Nope, where's the first? Where is the forced fumble? Oh, that was Shelby Harris. Shelby Harris had the forced fumble. Everyone was having a career game. Everyone was having a career game on that defense. And the passing game, there was nothing. Hollywood had no chance. No Michael Wilson. And, you know, no Michael Wilson, I'm sure, was part of the problem with the run game. But you can't really, like, that's the one thing is that the one thing you can't say was a glaring negative. Like, I wrote about this. It was all duds, no studs in this game. Like, I do, you know, positive and negative, winners, losers, studs, dunts. But I couldn't say that the receivers were duds because they had absolutely no chance of succeeding. So whether it was Hollywood, whether it was Rondell. And in fairness, the officials, like, did you see what Hollywood was called for offensive pass interference? Did you see the replay?
Yeah, I tweeted about that, and I said, I promise, the Cardinals aren't going to compete. Like, we don't have to make up things. Like,
if you look at the clip, it was Denzel Ward. Denzel Ward interfered with his teammate. Hollywood made no contact. He ran a good route, and then Denzel Ward ran into Cameron Mitchell. And that's what they got flagged for, and it took off that. Now, granted, you know, getting a 26-yard pass play to Rondell Moore, a first down, maybe that sparks a little something. Cleveland gets a little rhythm, but, yeah, they were just that was an atrocious call. And, you know, the one thing we know that is that the league will go back to the Cardinals and say, yeah, that was missed. But the Cardinals can't comment on it. That's one of the things they're not allowed to do. NFL right. teams, when the league goes to the team and say, that one was effed up, they are prohibited right. from talking about it to the media, to publicly.
Yeah, and it was just, I mean, there were a couple plays where you're just like, guys, what are we doing here? There's no need for it.
And I think defensively, the one thing that you can say was a negative is that they had no real pressure. They did get the one sack and had five hits. But, I mean, overall, Deshaun Watson was able to, and Deshaun Watson, in fairness, didn't look great. He didn't look great as a quarterback. But the Cardinals did not do much to, they didn't really do anything to make his life difficult.
No, not at all. And that's, you know, we talked about that. That's, they're going to have to do that if they want to compete. And, you know, just at times they're just not able to. And we know that it's a lack of talent. And so it's frustrating because we know what it is, but there's no way to fix it at this point.
Coming up next on the Resident Secret Podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web. Move on and talk about any positives. Were there any good things? That's coming up next on Rise Up Secret. Back on the Rise Up Secret Podcast, best of Cardinals Talk on the Web, Seth. Was there anything redeemable? I think we can look at the defense as a net positive, perhaps. I mean, it's still 27 points, but they, you know, third down wasn't bad. 6 of 17. They only gave up 326 total yards, and while they did gain 114 on the ground, 113 on the ground, the Cardinals allowed less than 3 yards per attempt. And if you take Deshaun Watson's 22 yards on 3 carries away, that average goes down to about 2.5. And so the run defense did its job. You know, Amari Cooper had the one touchdown, which is an absolute fluke. But then there was a play where, you know, Cooper's got two guys covering him. Deshaun Watson throws a perfect pass, and there's that big play. But if we look at individuals, I think you look at Dante Stills, and you're like, hey, this guy's something.
Yeah, I think so. Stills look good. You know, I thought, again, Garrett Williams looked good. He's offering a lot in the run game. I thought Zaven actually played a nice game. He didn't get home, but he was able to get some pressures a little bit. He's starting to come into his own. And I mean, between you and me, don't tell anybody, but I thought Marco Wilson actually didn't play poorly, which is,
you know,
a nice thing to
honestly,
see.
We haven't been able to say Marco's played badly since the Cincinnati game, have we?
Yeah, and so it's just been, you know, it's been good to see that there's some positives coming from this. I think you can just see how much better this defense is with Budda Baker and Jalen Thompson. And I know that Thompson has been around, but he plays off Budda so well. That it's just, you know, it's just cool to see those guys on the field together, because while I still think that building your defense with high-paying safeties is probably not the best thing to do, we can see that it does make a 100% difference for this team.
It absolutely does. And so it's been interesting this year, because there's been games when the offense carried the defense and the defense has carried the offense. We can look at and honestly, in hindsight, their performance against the Ravens, despite the score, look at what the Ravens have done in the two games sandwiching the Cardinals games, where they rolled up over 500 yards in both games and looked absolutely unstoppable. That Ravens team didn't look unstoppable against the Cardinals. They just had short fields. The fact that the Cardinals held the Ravens to under 300 yards when they absolutely smoked Detroit and Seattle in their other two games. You start to feel something, and I honestly, I do feel that I haven't felt the same same way about this defense as I did in week one, where they just the intensity and the flying to the ball. I think they've lost a little of that because of you know, some of the attrition to injuries, just the losing ways on them. So I don't see the same defensive intensity, but I do still see the defensive discipline. And you can see schematically that it's sound. It's a sound defense that just doesn't quite have the – they don't have the horses yet. And they're not. They don't have enough talent on either side of the ball to make up for their lack of talent.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's just it's unfortunate because I read this today. I don't know if you saw this little tweet, but it was defense. Let me see if I can find it. Defensive spending and defensive output, and the defensive, like the highest defensive spending with great defensive output is the Browns. So it's not like they played a bad defense, you know, going back to and looking at the offensive performance. But and then you have the least are invested in defense and playing well is the Ravens, which is crazy to think about. But then the Cardinals are in that, you know, lower invested and not playing well section, but they're higher up than you would expect. And a lot of that is just, you know, I really do think there's something with Rallis and Gannon's defensive scheme. And it just gets to the point where talent just it's just not there, like you said. And it just, you know how talent wins out. In this case, talent loses out, right?
Yeah, and I'll really, you know, where you notice it is on if they had one impact corner, and the guys aren't there yet, and one impact defensive lineman, I think, or, like, they're like, an above-average player at each level, like two guys on the front and one in the back end, then they've got, and you've got a very formidable defense, because if you get those guys, having Kaiser White's fine, but if you get a bigger time pass rusher to where Zaven Collins is your complimentary guy, or you have your, you know, if Collier had been healthy all year and he's above average, and then you have Ledbetter and Stills being complimentary guys, like if you add a higher tier talent to those groups, you feel so much better about this unit.
Yeah, I think so. I would agree with that.
So, and you look at you literally can't do anything positive on the offensive side of the ball.
No, this is the first time I can remember a game where I don't know if there's anything we can say positive about the offense.
I mean, Trey McBride had a nice 12-yard play in the first possession.
Yeah.
And that's about it. That's about it.
Because like you said, there were plays. The biggest like thing that you saw, not to get negative again, but the biggest thing you saw in this game was that there were plays to be had that Tune didn't hit. And not like, oh, that's a big league NFL quarterback throw play. Like, they were easy throws that he just didn't hit. And you're like, all right, what are we doing here? Like, I saw you do this, and I get it. It's preseason. They're playing against guys that are, you know, running workout clinics or selling insurance or doing different things. But, like, man, just how poorly they played. And then the other thing is, I think probably the worst thing is, what about the injuries? Like, what's going to go on with Will Hernandez and DJ Humphreys?
Oh, because geez, that's the one thing that you'll worry about moving forward. Their offensive line depth has just dwindled.
Yep.
And they claimed a guy. He's not playing. Doug Kramer, and I think he becomes their backup center. And then you prepare Ismail to Keith Eastmill to place or start at guard, or maybe you go with Carter O'Donnell, who was active for the first time and got to do that. But yeah, so much growth. So let's talk about one other thing in this edition of the show. Coming up next in the Resos here at Podcast Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web, it's Kyler Murray time. What is reasonable to expect from him? That's coming next on Rise Up C-Red. We're back on the Rise Up C-Red podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk of the Web. It is official. Kyler Murray was activated from PUP. He is now on the active roster. He will start this week. He's going to get all the first team reps in practice. It is official. What should we expect from Kyler in a new offense, albeit an offense that I think is a really good fit for him? But how much of a difference is it going to make? Because for the last 4 or 5 weeks, the quarterback play has just been bad. We're going to even look at like okay quarterback play and be like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah. And it really has been bad. And so we'll have to see. You know, like I said, last year, or I think I might have even said it this year, is like, you look at how poorly, and I use that word lightly, but like how poorly we all assume Kyler played. And then you look at it in the scope of like Cardinal history. And, you know, I wrote about it today. Like, it's crazy to me to think that a guy that last year had what we all would agree is a down year, 66% completion percentage, just under 2,400 yards, 14 touchdowns, 7 interceptions in 11 games.
That was not good.
It doesn't include any of his, you know, rushing statistics. And, you know, 3-8.
And but without him, 1-12, 1-12, and just
62% completion percentage, 3,200 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 17 interceptions in 15 games. So, I mean, less interceptions, they had more yards in 4 more games, but I mean, it's just less touchdowns, 10 more interceptions. Like, even a bad Kyler Murray is better than what, and again, bad relative to what the expectation level has been from him. It's just so much superior to anything else that we've seen. And I just can't imagine. I mean, it probably won't be pretty, you know, it probably won't be a 350 yard or 400 total yards from scrimmage type game, because it's his first game back in 11 months. But
even, you know, 200 passing yards would
seems
be fun,
like a lot,
right?
Yeah.
200 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. Hey, yes, please. And which makes that, and now Seth won't be for this show. Blake Murphy and I are going to record later this week our preview show. But this is a good week for him to come back. But the way they have this set up, he's got 4 games, the bye, and then 4 games. I think it's a really smart way to handle that. He will have had 4 weeks of practice in the offense, basically giving him a full training camp, and then, you know, he got 3 weeks of just general practice reps in the offense, and this week he's going to do all the game planning. How close do you think to what we've seen from Kyler are we going to see? How mobile do you think he will be? How much will he be asked to be limited, or will he limit himself in terms of moving around? Especially since what we've seen in the offense, which has actively used the mobility of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I think that is going to be something that we'll see how it plays out, because, you know, and again, I tore my ACL literally 21 years ago. So it was a lot different in terms of, and mine was actually worse. I tore 3 things in my knee. And so it was just one of those situations that the rehab, the all of that was a lot different for me. But I remember the biggest hurdle was all mental. Like, can I trust it? And it just is something that he's going to have to be able to do. And you know,
and I wonder if that was one of the reasons why they gave him as many practice reps as he did, so that he
to see if he could move like that without.
Yes. Feeling. So that they, now granted, it is a complete different animal in practice, because you know what, nobody's allowed to do. No one's allowed to touch the quarterback. But if he's willing to get out and run in practice, I think we'll be able to see that. I imagine, like, do you think we will see him even run as much as Dobbs did?
Yeah, I think so. I just think that the runs are going to be more Dobbs-like, in the sense that they're going to be simple, like, quarterback reads where he gets outside, and not the interior runs where he's cutting everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yeah. I wonder if, like, the tush-push play, I wonder if that will even be in the playbook right now with Kyler.
Yeah, and you have to wonder if it's something that they can do with him. I mean, with his stature, we've seen that it doesn't work all that well outside of Philadelphia. I mean, it's just like outside of Philadelphia, and
I mean, it does help the center that it they does, have, like Jason Kelce.
Well, that and the fact that Jalen Hurts squats 600 pounds.
Yes, and he like, is such a strong quarterback.
Yeah, and so we'll just see how it all works out. But I think the expectation is that he's superior to what we've seen from Josh Dobbs, and clearly superior to what we saw from Clayton Tune. And I think that's the only thing you can ask for early in this return.
And, you know, we'll probably see a few mistakes. He might miss a few reads early on. But I think it's reasonable to think that we can get, at worst, average quarterback play, and by the end of the year have seen flashes of greatness again. And I think that's a fair thing to expect, that as we get closer to the end of the year, we will, assuming that he's not a washed up version of Kyler Murray, like he's going to be Kyler again, that we will have seen flashes of that greatness again, that we have seen. And just the fact that, and I'm beginning to more like, and I am not an anti-Cliff guy. I think his offense needed just a little bit more. And Jordy Ayler talked about this on Twitter some time ago, and I completely agree. I think we can look at the last 5 years and say, for all the flaws that Kyler might have compared to his ceiling, that every ounce of success that the Cardinals had is because of Kyler Murray, and as opposed to their lack of success being because of Kyler Murray. I think we can look at everything that's happened since 2018, and it's like, and basically any good thing, Kyler brought that good thing. And I think that's basically it. Like, every success that they've had is because Kyler has done it, and it wasn't the people around, it wasn't the organization around him that put him in that position. Yes, they tried to do that, but it was him more than anything leading the team to that sort of success.
Yeah, and you know, like we said, like, it's still not what you would hope, right? Like 3-8 last year, I think 25-36 in his career. But when you look at a lot of it and you see how far down they are from 25-31, excuse me, in his career, and you see how far down they are from a talent perspective, especially now, it's like, holy crap. Like he was kind of dragging this team to where they were.
Yes, that's exactly it. Like, you look at that Raiders game where they looked, and then he's like, let's make plays. Like, I've got it. Yes. And I think I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. I think there'll be a few times where we're going to be like, oh, he's not quite there yet. But at his age, the type of player he is, ACL surgeries, as we learn, you had the numbers, is that quarterbacks usually, on average, return to at least as good and often better than the what they were. Because, in part, the time at the position tends to mature you and you become a better quarterback that way. So if that's the case, and the fact that he's been getting coached hard, I am very excited to see him on the field in live action because, you know, Jonathan Gannon talked about, and we heard it again this week, you know, straight talk and hard coaching. He responds to that. That was the thing that Cliff never gave him because Cliff, as good as a coach I believe he is for players, isn't one to coach hard. And if there's one thing that Kyler Murray needs, he needs someone to challenge him at every phase. So we need you. This is what we expect that you do this, and he will rise to the occasion. And so I can't wait to see this. Not only this, but to get glimpses. If we get at least glimpses this year, and not even just like barely glimpses, but there's stretches and games where he looks like a superstar again. Oh, that'll have me so excited for next year.
Yeah, and that's what we have to look forward to because, you know, you look at it, and I think you and I can kind of make a judgment, maybe not after this week, but maybe after next week of, like, what the expectation level is for the rest of the season. Obviously, if they win, we're going to probably oversell ourselves like we usually do and be like, oh, maybe they can win four more games and finish 6-11, and then they'll win two, and we'll be like, oh, okay, we overshot it again. But I think, you know, over the next 2 weeks, we'll be able to say, okay, these should be the expectations. Or, I mean, and you and I are fairly realistic about things, I feel like. We'll be able to go, hey, it's time to start having the discussion about Caleb Williams, Drake May, you know, is that what should happen? I think, and I know two games isn't a lot, but like if he just looks like he's lost his fastball, and I'm not talking from an arm standpoint, I'm just talking from a talent standpoint, but if he looks like he's lost his fastball, then yeah, that's a conversation we have to have, right? Like, but if he's, I think Kyle Odegaard said it the best. The best thing that could happen to this team is that they're losing games, you know, 42-35.
Yeah.
And yes, end up with the first pick. And you're like, we have no doubt that Kyler's the dude, but guess what we're going to be able to do now? We're going to be able to build around him. And we have that first pick that we're going to get a king's ransom for from the Giants or the Patriots or, you know, so it'll be fun, man. It'll be fun because at least there's something to look forward to, right?
Yeah, and that's yeah. But what we saw on Sunday was sadness and misery and just why are we watching this? And I hope you Cardinals fans, as much as I always want you to listen to all of our show, I completely understand if you turned that game off because that was unwatchable.
I watched all of it.
I did too. But again, that's our job. As much as we like watching the Cardinals, we probably would not have done that if we weren't getting paid to do it.
Exactly.
And with that, we'll wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Searhead podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk and Web. It's episode 483. Seth will not be here. Seth has other obligations. So on Thursday night on our preview picks and prop bets show, it will be me with Revenge of the Birds, the Redbird reboot podcast. Blake Murphy will join me then. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Searhead podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Searhead.